Okay, you guys. Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Jenna Blackert, and I am the founder of RealRawYou.com, which is a lifestyle blog, and I'm the founder of RealRawSynergy.com, which is where you've landed. And this is our podcast interview series where we bring in the best of the best as far as reaching through the world of synergy, oneness, consciousness, and really creating conscious creation and change in our reality. Today, we're talking with Ananya Sophia. And, you know, it's so funny how the universe just brings me and delivers people, and they just keep getting better and better. When I landed on her site, I fell in love with just the energy of who she was. When I dove in further and started listening to audios and videos, I fell even more in love. And then when we connected on our pre-call, I just fell in love with her essence. And she has an art of life where she brings in what she calls forbidden conversations, conversations that many people would go into wrongness or avoid or just have a resistance to. She brings in some art of sexuality and the womb. And she also works with people on their voice. And really, it's, you know, it's more than just the energy of confidence. It's really an energy of being. So Ananya, welcome. Welcome to this interview series.
Oh, thank you so much. It is a great privilege to be here.
You know, one of the things that I think caught me by surprise in your work is that you really, from just the beginning of a small child, had already been born with this connection of what I call oneness. I haven't really heard you use that. You often use the word Christ path. Can you start with, you know, how did you know that, you know, or maybe not how did you know, just tell us a little bit about your path as a Christ path and how you've brought in the feminine side of what we call the Christ path.
Well, it actually, I certainly wasn't born, wasn't born with this feeling. Not that I can remember, but there was one definitive moment when I was 7, and I was in Paris with my parents, and I was coming down the steps of the Sacré-Cœur, holding onto Mum and Dad's hand. And I saw a beggar sat on the steps with his head bowed and his hands cupped and together as if asking for money or food or something. And I was so absolutely magnetized to him that I escaped from my parents' clutches and I ran towards him and crouched down in front of him, which caused him to look up in surprise. And what I saw in that face forever and ever changed me. I saw light, I saw joy, I saw love. And I remember even at the age of 7, I heard myself say, there's another one of us on the planet. And I was an only child, and I was incredibly shy and lonely. And, you know, those feelings still sort of exist today, but they are actually kind of nice now. I like the feeling of aloneness. And that was absolutely the turning point. And then later, you know, a few years down the line, I realized that the face I saw on those steps was a very similar face to that of Jesus. And that got me on the path, really, of Christ, the Christ path,
uh-huh.
And what that means learning from so many different types of people and traditions, not just sticking with Christianity.
Right. Right. It's almost the energy of Christ and Mary Magdalene and, you know, really following almost the energy of their teachers. You know, so many people, you know, kind of, you know, have tried to run from Christianity because there is so much judgment in that religion. Yet the energy of Christ and Mary Magdalene is very different.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, where you are today in this work as you have brought in this feminine essence to the work of the Christ path. It was almost seems like much of what couldn't be shared because they lived in a, as my dad would have said, a fallen world.
Yeah. Yes. Where I'm at now in myself personally is an accumulation and a coming together of all the spiritual and mystical experiences that I've had, you know, those wonderful moments of grace, those epiphanies, those revelations. And I'm sort of asking myself, what were they for? What are they serving? All of these great awakenings and shifts. What is all of this going into the pot over? And I am very watchful of the world right now, and I'm seeing events orchestrate themselves and line up. And I can't help feeling many, many, many of us, and I don't just mean women, but the feminine spirit in both man and woman, I truly believe they are being orchestrated into a certain position to actually respond to the world events that are coming. So, you know, over the years, I've had the great luxury of learning and studying and meditating and going on journeys. Why, oh, why have we all been given the luxury of that? Surely it's because at some point we're going to turn around and serve the grace of that great luxury. And that's where I am, and that's what I'm talking about, and that's what I'm wanting people to feel motivated by.
Yeah. So let's bring this into that first forbidden conversation. That's probably one of the easiest ones to move into is the one of, I know much of your work is opening the door for women to greater being around the energy of sexual energy and sexual healing and embracing their womanhood. What is it that, you know, really for women would you say is the biggest thing that they judge about sex and sexuality and, you know, moving into a world where they can be all of them and embrace their womanhood?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is for ladies to realize genuinely and sincerely that sexual energy is the most powerful healing force, medicinal force in the body. We have to come away from the old patriarchal idea that we're chasing an orgasm and that we have to perform in some way, or that it's some sort of duty or exchange tactic in the art of relating, but it is in fact a place where you can open your body, your heart and your soul and take on a tremendous wave of personal and spiritual healing. So that's the first, like, wow, that needs to come into that woman. And then to look at the responses around that revelation. Because another part of the old patriarchy programming is that we're either a good girl or we're a bad girl. We're either a femme fatale or a good and dependable wife. We're either incredibly spiritual and wearing white every day, or we're out raving and being wild. And that's the separation. But the thing is, womankind is all of that and so much more. Womankind has a birthright to simply be her full and glorious self that is forever changing, spontaneous, playful, creative, artistic, expressive, tender, humble, and wild. And so, you know, as a woman, maybe you compare and contrast yourself to other women, and that there are certain types that you absolutely don't like. And the invitation would be to examine that type of woman that you really just instantly reject. Why? What is she showing you? Because for a whole woman to come into form, she is wild. She is dark, but not dark as in bad. Dark as in unknown, mysterious, playful, joyful, innocent, humble, tender, and ecstatic. And she is allowed to change. We don't have to keep being the same in order to be appreciated or acknowledged.
Beautiful. Wow, I wrote some notes, and I feel like I can go 101 different directions. let's talk. I had a conversation with a Harvard scholar, and she talked about like the rising of Kali and this Kali energy, you know, coming up inside of her and almost her being this Kali. And, you know, it's something that we judge, yet there's this essence of this dark that, you know, we immediately judge or reject. I mean, talk about forbidden. That's exactly what that is. So
Absolutely. Can
we talk just a minute about it's almost just acknowledging our dark. It's not even, you know, accepting it or, you know, definitely not, you know, rejecting it, making it right or wrong, but it's almost just acknowledging this is a part of us too. I would like to, you know, get some more of your perspective, and how can that be a part of this, you know, orgasmic, ecstatic life that we can live?
What I feel that your lady was talking about is something that I call sacred rage. And it is like a holy fury. And the reason it's sacred is because it is absolutely not intending to harm anyone or anything with its pure fire force. But it's what I was talking about a few moments ago about a situation is most definitely brewing. You know, in our modern day culture, whether we want to say it's North Korea and the USA, something is absolutely organizing itself into position. And I sincerely cannot help feeling that when Dalai Lama said, "Western woman shall save the world," I remember thinking, oh, maybe it's going to be some kind of innovation, some kind of political system, some kind of educational system. What I truly believe now is that it's going to be this Kali energy, absolutely unleashing itself in the feminine, and that means men and women. those of us that are not afraid of embodying this holy fury, should anything happen in this situation I've just been speaking about, and of course the other situations that are already happening, at some point the feminine, which is the part of us that truly feels the sacredness of all life, all the animals, all the fish, all the birds, all the forests, is going to absolutely erupt and simply say, not in my name. And that is what I believe the Dalai Lama meant when he said the Western woman shall save the world. I do believe there's going to be a massive worldwide call to action by the feminine in response to devastating things happening on this earth and harming innocent life.
Well, it does seem that that's happening. And so what you're saying is, you know, it's not really an activist point of view. It's just us coming up as the real raw essence
yes.
of us
yes.
that is going to create change. And, you know, in some ways, I see this already happening. And some people could yeah. say it's a little activist, but you can also yes. tell by the words that are said or written that it actually isn't, that it is just, yeah. you know, this is unkind, you know, and
yeah.
this,
yeah.
no, this is not the way and the order of oneness that we should be moving forward.
Absolutely.
Is that?
It might be a
call, yeah.
Yes, it might be a call of action. It might be a way of prevention, or it may be an energy that simply takes what is left behind and reorganizes it in a fashion that those beings can continue to thrive. I know at the moment this may sound like, wow, that's really far out, but I believe in the coming days or weeks, we're going to see something very, very historical.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time from that vantage point. Very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to take this a little bit deeper. These people aren't my group. they are used to me edging things in all kinds of ways. So I would like to talk to you about and really just have a real conversation about, you know, women and or actual climax orgasm and, you know, orgasm and how that awakens us in, and maybe we can do an activation around this energy, but I'm really curious to explore that even more, that because I know for me it has, you know, awakened not just my sexual energy but my whole life.
Absolutely.
And I feel like you have a lot of information around it, but, you know, and mine is all just experiential. So, I want to take it wherever you want to go.
Well, I see sexual energy as the most powerful healing medicinal force in the body. And if a man or a woman perceived that they had a block or that they had a work in progress, you know, they're working on opening the heart, they're working on unleashing the voice, they're working on clearing the mind from the last remnants of debris from drug abuse or something, then it would be very wise to guide that orgasmic energy to those places and pockets in the moment of release. But then, of course, we can go a step further. And instead of being focused on our own body, we can focus on the natural world so that we can actually give the orgasmic energy to the rainforests, to the ocean that, you know, that Fukushima toxicated water is pouring into, to the extinction of the white lions, for instance. And it doesn't need to be seen as a sexual force, but simply as life force. And so as you connect to those places in the release of your orgasm, you just offer that over in a sort of neutral offering, the same way that you would, you know, offer rose petals upon an altar. Like, beloved God, you know what to do with this. I don't have much, but I have this, and I give it freely. I give it freely for the whole of creation to thrive. So we need to know that the sexual energy is available for that kind of inner work.
And then would you say that, or in your work with Kundalini and Kundalini yoga, like, I mean, how do we, you know, bring that into more of a living energy? How would we activate? I mean, I see how we could give that deep surrender, but how do you, it seems that you know of a way to continue living this.
Well, I guess it must be coming from the heart. That is the only thing I can see that could be guiding this sort of ferocious, wild, gorgeous journey that I'm on. The heart and its ever-deepening empathy for fellow humans and our weird and wonderful ways. And also, as I age, deeper, deeper, deeper connection with the natural world. You know, when I was a young woman, I was really only very interested in myself and maybe a handful of other people. But as I age, oh my God, I'm absolutely mellow and mature into a being that so knows she is connected with everyone and everything now. And that empathy and compassion and fierceness just, you know, pours through my heart constantly, most of the time.
Right? Yeah. I would like more of that in my life, for sure. It seems that I have glimpses and then I fall back into the selfish, you know, or what we call selfish in this reality. It's all about me. And then, you know, I will surrender and open up again. And and maybe that's where, you know, we can lead a meditation or something around that. I would love that. But I think,
also,
go for it.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, we live in three different environments, me and you. Where are you? Are you in L.A.?
No, I'm in Texas, so, you know, giddy up here.
Right. Well, I'm in the Pyrenees, and my neighbors are mountains. And, you know, I don't walk down any high street. The only high street I walk down is green and covered in moss. Now, it is an actuality that the environment can either make or break you. It will either serve your spiritual awakening or totally hinder it. And you know, we have to consider these things. How serious are you really about the spiritual awakening, the opening of the heart? I experienced
I think
quantum.
That's a great question.
Once I moved from London to here, oh my God, game changer.
We have a beach house out on an island, and the reason I got it was because of so much of the electromagnetic, you know, activity that's here, which can be fun and, you know, get me, you know, juiced up, but it can also, you know, if I stay here too long, then I feel like I'm ready to change my environment. So I have a little bit and have created some of that already. And I like the change. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So environment is a biggie, you think?
Yes, absolutely. Environment, who you hang out with, the places you go, you know, the group consciousness you're buying into, agreeing with, siding with, putting your energy into.
Yeah. Well, let's, can we do an activation today for helping the group, you know, awaken more to their, you know, feminine essence, bring in some of those energies of, you know, Mary Magdalene and even some of this, you know, just the new energies of really bringing in this art of being our sacred rage. And, you know, one of the things that really attracted me, is this, the dragon womb, which I didn't really, I just found on your site and I was into dragons. So, you know, a little bit more of an embracing some of that essence. I'd love to kind of just, you know, let people experience your work, you know, this art of living that you're being. The orgasmic living you're being is probably a better word.
Alrighty, then in that case, let me tell you a little story. So if everybody either lies down on their back, or continue sitting, or maybe going into cross-legged on the floor. But whichever position you're in, place your hands over your womb space, bringing your thumbs together and your first fingers, and so forming like a little diamond, an open diamond, over the lower abdomen. And I'll tell you a story. So, beloved ladies, and maybe there's a few gentlemen listening as well. I am speaking the truth when I tell you that there has always been a lineage of feminine guardians upon this earth. Sometimes they are awake, as in Eve and Isis, Hathor, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary, Sarah. And sometimes they are sleeping, living dormantly among us. And that is absolutely right. Their sleep state and their activated state is absolutely right according to the sign of the times. These women are sourcing directly, gnostically, one-to-one. They do not need permission, recognition, or acknowledgement from any external source. They are here to keep the feminine mysteries and practices alive, which have never been written down and never will be written down, because they cannot be written down. They can only ever be shown. These are the ways of the ancient mothers. Ritual, ceremony, healing, and teaching. They are the practices of the womb, the voice, of union, opening the body, harmonizing the planet, and taking beings through the death realms. They are the keepers of the dragon energies. These beings have been here since the beginning of time. And always will be up until the very last human breath. The name Mary is not a name like Julie or Sarah. The name Mary is a description, and it means priestess, wise woman, queen of Gnosis. These women are usually discreet, humble, walking amongst us, living amongst us. They have sacred arts, such as taking the war out of man, bodily practices to help bridge the gap between that man and his fragmented soul, from the acts of war, both internally and externally. They know how to use their body to bring that man to the lap of God again. And if any of this is resonating with you, you simply must take some form of action to actualize this for real and to claim your remembrance of everything I'm saying. Don't let it just pass through. Take an action, create a ritual, and say yes to this with the whole of your body. That is my activation.
That was beautiful. Almost in tears.
To me, that is absolute truth. I'm not making up stories. That is a path that I live every single day.
I, you know, from the energy that you are, I know that this is true. I think, you know, one of the things that I think I want to point out for the callers and listeners is that area of action. And so many people still live in fear, you know, fear to, you know, lush in their desires, to trust their own desires. And I'm wondering if from this space you can speak about that, you know, that it's almost that if we aren't courageous here, we can't awaken to all of us, to be all of us. Yeah. Can you speak about that for just a minute?
That is absolutely. I would say that fear that any woman may feel has been cleverly placed in her being by a patriarchal mindset. So it is designed to do exactly that. Make her doubt, be chaotic, be confused, and simply not take that leap of faith. That is, it's almost vital that she takes that leap of faith. And the mind and the fears will plague her, haunt her, and cripple her in many ways, paralyze her. But if we could just take a breath when those fears are coming in and realize it's a pattern, realize it's a program, realize that it's a condition, like a prison, then maybe, just maybe, we will take that little extra step beyond the fear and be greeted by the goodness of her surrender as she realizes, oh my God, that was just the fear that had me in a snare. This is not what I was fearing. And of course,
yeah,
us that do this, the easier it becomes for the others.
Yeah, it becomes like leapfrogging with others. As
yes,
one woman steps into courage, another one sees that it's possible and can step into even more courage. And it's an energy.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. In my work, we call, you know, doubt an implant, that literally we've been, you know, implanted, you know, by aligning and agreeing with these energies and this reality. And,
yes,
you know, once we can acknowledge that it's just stuck there in you, then you can have choice to release it. And I love looking at these things that stop us and allow us to step into this courage.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing that I come up across with people is they feel trapped, you know, through the situations in their world. And, you know, I'm wondering if, you know, if it's kind of the same, or how you would you help people with that, you know, their own creation of entrapment, yet for them it's very much a real thing.
Absolutely. I mean, yes, I'd say it's part of this pattern, it's part of this condition, and it's just part of, you know, the overstimulated, fearful mind can really get itself into a pickle. And what people are imagining is simply not there. And if that beautiful being can just ease their nervous system, excuse me, down a few notches, you know, in a couple of days' time, they will perceive everything totally different. We have to realize just how overstimulated and fast acting and hectic we actually are. This is not normal. Humanity is not meant to be this, you know, a chaotic, hardwired, fast acting, I want it now type being. We're actually meant to be in harmony with like the earth pulse of life. And when we do drop into that harmony, we can actually see everything as it really is, rather than going through that highly stressed nervous system where everything is always going to take on that tint of doubt and chaos and confusion and anxiety. So, let me just summarize that. If you feel you're in a trapped situation and you are plagued by doubts, then rather than take any drastic action at the moment, I would suggest winding your nervous system down with yoga, with meditation, with breath work, with massage. Take yourself on a healing journey, a vision quest, and then look back at your life and see what is real and what is not real.
Right. So many people forget that that's all it takes is a little bit of breath work.
Yes.
And a little bit of reconnecting.
Yes.
Including
me. And me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had this really intense yoga practice, and you know, it was so awesomely intense that by the end I almost couldn't not surrender, and
yes.
It started to bother my ankles and my feet, and which you know, started asking my body and just doesn't want to do it anymore, and I've been playing with a few other practices, but nothing that has gotten me so chill as that.
Yes.
So, you know, here's where I get to act and see.
Yes.
And for what's next. Yeah. See, and I, something that I've forgotten until I had to say it out loud. Wow. I think that I'm in a state of awe and envy, and I'm really grateful for your for who you are and the work that you've done, because I can get a glimpse into the energy of that. And you know, one thing that I know from doing so many interviews is people have an essence and an energy that, you know, I can catch in a way. I can catch a little bit of it, right? It's like a contagious catching. And I'm really grateful to have been able to catch so much. With that being said, I'd like you to share how, you know, people can, you know, hang out with you more, and I know you've got an upcoming class. If you want to share that, I'd love for you just to, you know, openly share your site and how people can get more from you.
Well, yes, of course. They can come over to the website, which is AnayaSophia.com. And, of course, I'm pretty active on Facebook. And I have my little YouTube channel, which I do quite a few videos like this when I'm what I call, you know, being serious. And then I have another series of videos that I do with my husband, Pete, on everyday and totally recognizable relationship issues that us men and women are getting ourselves in a complete pickle over. And that's another aspect of the work I'd like the listeners to realize, that I work alongside my husband and we totally reveal the vulnerable truth of our human togetherness. Because obviously you're listening to me now and you're like, wow, this lady's totally got it together. Yes, that's because I'm speaking through my spiritual lens. There's another aspect, and that is the human part of me who really, really is here, who really, really is married, and is really looking to go deeper with her husband when there is a huge amount of conditioning and defense systems and protection in our bodies that simply say, don't go there. You know, stay safe, stay isolated, keep your armor on, love one another by all means, but for God's sake, don't take that armor off. And so Pete and I, you know, with tremendous joy in our hearts and real vulnerable sharings, we make these little videos together with the extended, you know, hands out to the other couples and those who aren't in relationship to, you know, come into community and let's see what we've discovered together.
That's so cool. I myself have been married almost 25 years, and it's taken us probably 25 years to break down those, We've really been working it too. You know, it's, because now it's, we've had arguments and fights that, you know, in some way have always been gifts to create more. And, you know, we'll still have, you know, things where one of us will feel rejected or, you know, and, you know, it just takes us a little while to come back and realize and remember and awaken back to, you know, who we are together. And I think it's really cool that you're doing that for people, because I think there's probably only about 1 or 2% of this reality that has this kind of relationship.
Yes,
this true, absolutely. You know, art of total, you know, raw vulnerability with each other, and can say what you want to say and know you won't be judged no matter what. And sometimes have desires that the other one doesn't want to fulfill, and then you have a moment of, you know, being mad, and and then you know, you come back. It's this dance.
Absolutely.
It's really cool that you're doing that. Yeah, I did watch a few of those videos, and it's great that you're doing that.
Well, we really enjoy making this so fun.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I could see how it could be. So were you born with the name? Were you born with the name Anaya. I've been saying it the whole time, and this is like, as soon as I asked about it, I couldn't say it. Is that your birth name?
No, my birth name is... No, it's Julie. My birth name is Julie. Julie Cunahy. So it's, I have an Irish surname, because I have an Irish father. But I'm, you know, good old simple Julie. But of course, you know, I wanted an Aramaic name. I wanted to have a name that was the same dialect as what Jesus and Mary spoke. And so I selected that, chose that name. I didn't have a clue what it meant. I just know I liked the sound of it. And of course, I handpicked the surname Sophia, which means wisdom. So so the whole thing was very, like, cleverly birthed. But I'm very happy to be both names to all my friends and family. It really, it makes no difference to me whatsoever which name people call me.
Yeah, it's a really cool name, and it's unique. You know, there's a lot of Annas, and there's a lot of, you know, I know there's the Sophia codes, and there's a, some Sophia ending names, or Sophia spelled a little bit differently, and, you know, it was, it's different, and that's why I was curious about it, because I knew it was kind of among the energy dialect, right? But then I felt like I wanted to ask, because it was so different. I was just curious. I appreciate you, you know, sharing your name. So funny. I have a client who has changed her first name twice and her last name once. And she says, I just keep changing. Like, and it just seems like when I change, you know, that's the first place that I want to change. It's like people changing their phone number or their hair coloring, right? Or, you know, and that's her area of change. And I thought that was really quite cool.
Absolutely. It's great to change, but we must remember the birth name. This is really important, because, you know, in my case, Julie, that's the one who's doing the groundwork. You know, Anaya was only dreamt up about 10 years ago. Julie's been here 47 years. She's the one, you know, that has lived the life. She's doing the ground run. So all my, everything I do, I always voice, not even think, I voice the name Julie. And this is for you, Julie, you know, for my ancestors, Julie, Samantha Cudahy, I say the whole name. So if you do change your name, don't forget your birth name.
Yeah.
Include that, your prayers or your practices.
My daughter's name is Julia, and I said, well, that's just because you're my little jewel. And she seems to embrace her name, which is great. I love that name. This is such a beautiful name. You have two beautiful names. Oh my goodness. I feel like I just don't want to hang up with you, but I feel like we're at the end of the call here. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Anaya, it's been a pleasure to connect with you. And thank you for going places and talking about this. And I feel like there's deeper conversations that we can have. And, you know, I'm not, at this time, I mean, I just wanted to give everyone a taste of who you are and, you know, the essence that you be. So thank you.
Yeah.
And
I just want to say one more thing, and especially directly to you. Remember, we have a B&B in the south of France. Now, if ever you come to the south of France, beloved, you know where you're staying.
I'm thinking that might be a place that I go. Well, and I love going to France. A couple of years ago, we went to Paris for my very first trip, and I've just collected little Eiffel Towers everywhere in both houses. And we went to Paris for the first time. And I had all this like time bleeds going on in that area, where it was like I would seem to have glimpses of other energies from other times and other spaces. And I was really, really playing with that. And I just don't have that in the States. I mean, not even where there's monuments and things. I just not, it's just a totally different energy. And I've never, except for had a train go through the south of France, I can only imagine. And the caves, I hear about that. There's all these like sacred caves. Yeah. And I would love to explore some of the energies around there. So that might be a definite yes in a couple of years for sure. That's
cool. I love that. We both love that.
Yeah. And just, I mean, it's just a gorgeous place. And the food. I think.
Wine.
And the wine. And then you can go to Germany and have the beer. I'm planning to go to Rome next year. So maybe I will make an extended trip. Yeah. I think we'll just start putting that kind of on the quest, on my quest list. Yeah. And see how that shows up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for connecting. And I look forward to seeing how we cross paths in the future. It's been absolutely delicious. Yeah. Just as a reminder, you guys. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. I just wanted to remind the listeners that if you have comments on any of these calls, definitely do write them in. I want to know what you say, and I often will share those with speakers. So if you want to connect with one of our speakers, definitely let me know. And our next show is next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And then we'll probably have a Friday show coming up again soon. So I wanted you guys to know about that. And I'm doing a little challenge in October starting on the 17th. So we'll email you details on that as well in probably the next week or so. So I hope you come and play. And that's all my announcements for the day. Adore you guys, and I thank you so much for being a part of my world. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye, everyone.